The Bible says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pastor Efield's here with us tonight, going to minister to us. Like I said last night, we have 91% employment in our country. Hallelujah. His country has 91% unemployment. And so I just want to continue, and I will always say this. And I will always stand for this country, and I will always fight in the sense that you must make sure you hold up this nation and make sure that you do everything you can to represent this nation well while you're in it and when you go from it. Because that is our commission in Christ Jesus. Is that okay?
Amen.
Wonderful Jesus, you may be seated. Thanks, musos. Not yet.
Amen. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, I said praise the Lord, everybody, because he is worthy to be praised and glorified and honored. Amen?
Amen.
What a great day to be in the Lord. Amen. It's Independence Day, but we got our independence due to Christ Jesus. Amen. And you know, Saturday night is the night that we take up our, receive our tithes and our offerings. So we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings tonight. Amen. Because the Apostle Paul said, let every man lay aside each week what God has so graciously given unto him. Amen. So just let us pray. Father, we just thank you once again, dear God, for the gifts and for the givers, O God. We thank you, O God, that you allow us, O God, to give from your gracious bounty, O God. So, Father, as we give, O God, we just ask that your blessings be upon it and that you return some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, God. Well, hallelujah. Thanks, ushers. Just want to encourage everybody now. Is there any children that need to be released to the... Any little ones? Can't see too many at the back there. Well, if you need to go down, you're welcome. We don't want to take any more time. Has everybody had a blessed day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. Let's continue to encourage one another in the word. Let's encourage one another. Remember, tomorrow morning we'll be here. Tomorrow night as well. So I think just let's keep the flow going. Because these weekends we can get distracted, could get out of the kick. So let's not do it. Let's just make sure that we're receptive. Let me just introduce Pastor Efield, if you could. Do you want to stand up there, brother, or here? Down here, good? Let me introduce you a little bit to this young man. Geez, we must have met about 20 years ago, as I've related before. When he came in my home, the Lord spoke to me to wash his feet. Do you remember that, Efiel, the first time you came in my house? And it was no big deal because the cultural acceptance of such things, you know, who has never been in a foot washing ceremony? Raise your hand. Yeah, quite amazing. We used to do it all the time, and it was just an incredible experience. It's actually easier to wash feet than have your feet washed. It's easier to wash somebody else's feet than... It's a really a humiliating experience when somebody... Especially if they have to take your shoes and socks off, if they really do the job well. And it's just, oh, it's tough, mate. You think singing to one another is hard. That foot washing's fun. We're going to nail you one night on that. Anyway, so praise God. I told you about the time I did a foot washing in India, but I'll tell you another story. So Pastor Efiel now, I've been down to his home, stayed in his home, preached in his churches, preached in his conferences. His country's been through much hardship, as you all know. But also, just in the last year or two, they've been very strongly involved with an orphanage. He might tell you a little bit about it. 84 little people in this orphanage. And the interesting thing, right now, they need help in fixing it up. And this is something I just want to mention before he comes, particularly painting. Painting is the primary thing. Also, they said there's some electrical work. So he only spoke about it today. We immediately emailed Joe Colucci. Some of you don't know him yet, but he's down there in the base in Zambia. He's just come back from Botswana. And so Joe emailed me back. He's already told me that They're going to try and make a plan to get to Zimbabwe. So the idea is to send Joe down there, spy out the land, find out what they need, and then we're going to see if we can send a couple of guys down there to supervise, helping to restore this orphanage. Now, this is like 40 rooms, so it's quite a task. But anyway, that's who what we believe. And also, of course, because of all the 25 churches he's got under his oversight, there'll be plenty of opportunity to preach and prophesy and lay hands and knock a few people over while we're down there. Not that I'm going, but some of you may do. So I just want to encourage you, avail yourself to these things, because a lot of what we do, let me just say this, and this is an important thing. Now we're getting a little bit more like barn speak with me. Barn speak is when I talk in a barn as opposed to a church, because our best discipleship school was always in a barn up there in Lexington. And that is, what are you going to actually lay before Jesus' feet when you get there? What are you actually going to, what tangible thing are you going to, what story? The scripture says they're overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? What is that testimony? If I said, okay, we're going to write a Kingsfire International testimony book, you're all going to write a chapter, what would you write? What would be your chapter? What would be your story? Listen to me now, folks. Don't be distracted, because I'm trying to get all your attention, right? Remember, Vaughn is not the person to distract. Other people can live with it. Vaughn can't. What is your story that is undeniable proof that God worked a miracle for you? What is your story that you can tell, you can stand before God, man, and the devil and say, God did that for me? You see, until you got one, your faith is still a little like iffy, andy, and butty, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying this because that's what God is speaking to the church. He's saying, get a story. So that when everything gets tough in the future, you've got something you can depend on. When you're faced with a giant, if you haven't faced the bear and the lion, you won't get the giant. I promise you. And too many people, the time's coming when giants are going to come up in your life, but you didn't tackle the bear and you didn't tackle the lion. And now's the time to take it on. And with all the excuses in the world, they aren't going to be worth spit. Everybody stop. Just everybody sit at the back when you come in. Don't come to the front while I'm talking like this. This is not a pastor talking. I want to tell you something. All you young people, all of your excuses, how much water do you think they're going to hold? How much water? When the Bible says, consider your ways. You eat and you're hungry. You clothe you and you're cold. You eat, I've already said, you then earn wages and put it in a bag full of holes. Consider your ways. What is the absolute proof that you've done something for Jesus and that he has worked a miracle for your life? It's a pretty tough one to answer. And the only way you can normally do it is get out of the boat. Is get out of the boat. And you're saying, well, God's not telling me to get out the boat. It's because you aren't saying, Lord, bid me to come. That's why he hasn't told you to get out the boat. There's always going to be 11 dry rowers in the boat and one wet water walker man who's going to say, Lord, is that you? I'm not sure, but just in case it is you, tell me to come. Amen. And this is the thing. Oh, what if and could be? I tell you, it's just beginning to really irritate me, in case you hadn't noticed. Is that our Christianity is not tangible. There's no substance. Now, faith is the substance. Substance. I remember going to school. It was great. It was Fred Price I got it from. And Fred Price says, how many of you believe this is made of wood? And a load of people raise their hand. And then he'd say, you dummy, you don't have to believe it, you can see it's made of wood. That's not believing. So I tried it at the school. I said, how many of you believe this is made of wood? Oh, everyone raise a hand. How many of you believe I got $1,000 in my pocket? Of course, my son raised his hand. And sure enough, I had $1,000 in my pocket. You see, because they couldn't see the $1,000, so therefore they didn't believe it. They didn't believe that someone would walk around with $1,000. I actually did once with $5,000. But the point is I'm asking you this question. What is the substance of your faith? The substance of your faith. The fact that you said, well, I had a regular job, but one day I heard there was a need in Zimbabwe, and I thought, man, I made a plan. I sold a few things. I thank God I went down there for a month. It changed my life. Somebody wake him up, or I will. I would have not been quite so good at it. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying? Some of you young people, some of you single people. The Bible's very clear. A single man minds the things of the Lord, how he may please him. It doesn't say nothing about apartments, cars, iPods, cell phones. It says none of that. I tell you, you're going to look really weird standing before Jesus with a pocket full of toys. A pocket full of toys. Say, yeah. I saw a guy yesterday at Quick Check. Who was with me? I was at a Quick Check. Well, maybe this would win. And he's got a three-wheeler motorbike with two wheels at the front. Now, what kind of moron would have that? A motorbike with two wheels at the front. Now, how impossible is that to steer? So all he's doing his whole life is, look at me. Look at me and my toy. And we're all laughing with our iPhones in our pockets. My cell phone comes free. That's how much it costs me. My truck cost me $6,000. My car cost me $6,000 years ago. And they're still doing just fine. Thank you very much. You see what I'm saying? And it's a time when we've got to make some decisions about, are we going to do something for God, or are we going to just allow our Christian... Do you know how this system works? Do you know how this system works? Right, first thing happens. At 5 years old, they send you to grade school, so they can begin the sin of comparison. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, because they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. So the first thing that happens in life is you are sent to a place that compares you with somebody else. Unscriptural. Okay. Then what happens is now you're in a place of comparison and there's a line, pass. If you're above that, you're proud. If you're under that, you're a loser. If you're in the middle, you're average. All three of them are dead loss for God. Pride, average, loser, none of them are any good. Are you with me? Giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. You see, until we get delivered from the system, you can't serve God. So now you're 5 years old, you go to another school and you keep going through the system and you keep graduating with caps and you actually graduate from kindergarten. Drives me insane, that thought. So you go through middle school, grade school, high school. And you just graduate and graduate and graduate till you've got a rack full of caps and gowns, a wall full of diplomas. Then you go to school, then you go to college, and you're now what, a freshman? For God's sake, you've graduated six times and you're a freshman? Then you graduate college, you keep going. And then what happens when you come out of college, you've got this piece of paper and a debt. So you can't do anything for God because you've got to get a job to pay the debt. And then by the time you pay the debt, you've wooed yourself into some gooey relationship. And you've got to have a house. And you've got to have furniture. And you've got to have a car each. And you're trapped for the rest of your stupid life. I hate the system. It is ungodly. And why can I say this? Because at 30 years old, I got married. And 3 weeks before I got married, I went to the boss and said, I'm getting married in 3 weeks. He thinking I'm asking for rice, said, so I want to quit. And left the system 3 weeks before I got married and never got in it again. And I want to say this because I can now confidently say with Barnspeak, it's time to stop thinking about your budgets are for people who don't live by faith. Budgets aren't for godly people, for God's sake. Godly people get vision and then trust God to fulfill it. Budgets are only to get you out of debt, not... Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm trying to give the mic to Ethio. I want to say this. There is nothing better than you can do. I was at a youth meeting down there in New Jersey last year or the year before, I can't remember. Young man from Overland Mission there. Vaughan, he said, tell me, what do you think every Christian should do before they're 30 years old? I said, go on a mission trip for 3 months. You know why? You go overseas, you go on a mission trip for 2 weeks, you learn nothing. You know why? Anybody can hold their breath for 2 weeks. Anybody can eat bad food for 2 weeks. When you go over there for 3 months, first month's like heaven on earth, second month's like hell on earth. Third month, it begins to normalize. And this is when you begin to realize that you really have got a call of God upon your life and there really is something inside of you that you can tap into that when God puts a demand upon you, something is there called a bear and a lion because the giant's coming. But I want to tell you something. Christians in America aren't ready for the giant. Not ready for the giant. And when the giant comes, everybody's going to be on the other side of the hill trembling. Forgetting that he's an uncircumcised heathen against you. That you are a child of God. You are fighting in the Lord's army. You are part of Israel. And this is what you're going to do. You've got to fight and find your own armor and get on with it. Anyway, that's what I believe. And if you want to argue with me about it, go ahead. Make my day. So, what was I talking about? Oh, Ethiopia. That was it. So I just want to encourage you because there's a time when many of you, let's face it, you know, you rent an apartment. What the heck are you doing with your life? What are you doing? You're scratching around. You're disappointed. You're unhappy. You're just living from paycheck to paycheck. If you're living from paycheck to paycheck, why bother? Trust God for an airfare, and maybe you come back. They'll feed you when you get there. Suds is good, man. Suds are in gravy. Little mealy. Making me hungry. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like a one-way ticket. There's nothing like learning how to pray, because if you don't, you're dead. There's something about it. And it doesn't come by selling everything and going up and down the East Coast. It comes by leaving the East Coast. And don't go west. It comes by leaving and going and serving someone. What do you want? I talked to a young man today. It was wonderful. He's got a good job now. And I said, so where did you start? He said, oh, I started minimum wage in Sears with his degree. He had a 4-year degree and his first job, minimum wage in Sears. He said, well, you had to start somewhere, so I did. And then he went to another job and another. Now he's got the job that he wanted and he's moving on up in that as well. All I'm saying is, man, who do you everybody think they are? Do something for God. Do something for God. And when you come back in this country, you got nothing. Yeah, and we ain't got nothing now. You got nothing now. Let's face it, folks. I know you well enough. to know you haven't got anything. So why don't you go and do something for God for a year and come back with nothing except a stinking great story and some fruit in a foreign country. And as the scripture says, when you give to the poor, you lend to God. And God is no man's debtor. It's a wonderful thing. Ephiel, tell me to shut up. This is my buddy Ephiel. Come on up, buddy. As I said, got 25 churches under his oversight in different countries of the world. And I just want to encourage you, as a man of faith, his testimonies are endless. And I've told him to preach, pray, prophesy, lay hands on you, knock you out, do whatever he can. He has no holds barred. If there's any objections in any of your hearts, you're wrong.
Would you like the mic? Or?
Why do you have that?
He's my buddy. Thanks, Ephiel.
Thank you, Pastor.
Now, one more story. I like it when this guy told me off once in Zimbabwe. Do you remember that years ago? I was working with some other guy, some white church. You remember that?
All right. Okay.
He rebuked me, man. Told me I was out of order. And he was right. Never forget that. In case you did, I thought I'd just remind you.
Thanks, buddy. Take your liberty. Let's give him a pat.
I greet you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that's above all names. Amen. In heaven and earth and under the earth. Amen. Amen. I want to give thanks to the Lord for giving me this time to come here. I'm traveling with my wife, Elna. We have been married now for 27 years, and we are very much honored to be here, and we thank God for that. And I want to thank Pastor Vaughn and Sister Wendy for inviting us to come and minister God's word here. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal Father, I thank you tonight for giving us the time to be together. Thank you, Lord, because you are present. Lord Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are in our midst. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everything that you did in the past, you can do tonight. Thank you for you are the anointed one. Thank you because by your anointing, yokes are destroyed and burdens are removed. And thank you, Lord, for the release of your anointing in this place tonight for the glory of God the Father. Thank you for anointing our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. And thank you for anointing our hearts to be receptive to your word. And thank you for anointing my lips. Thank you for speaking through my lips and thinking through my mind. And Father, we give you all praise and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Why don't we just lift our hands to the Lord tonight and let's just thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight. Just thank the Lord in your own words for the Spirit of God tonight, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you, to me, to us all, to this body tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the helper. Thank you for the comforter. Yes, Lord. I thank you for the liberty of the Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for taking preeminence over everything, leading and guiding for the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I had a message which I had prepared to share with you. But when I came here, the Lord told me to go in a different direction. So I'm going to be sharing with you what the Lord put in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, the word of God says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as God's sons, we are led by the Spirit of God. And he knows what is best for us. I want to share with you tonight. I'm going to share with you on faith. I was not planning to share on this. There's something else which I was planning to share on. But the Lord led me to share this with you. Yes. Then the before we get to that, there's something else. I thank the Lord for reminding me. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse First Timothy chapter 2. We come from Zimbabwe, and like what Pastor said, we have unemployment at over 90%. And our nation has gone through a lot of hardships. And right now, we are still going through a lot of economic and political challenges. Almost 5 million people have left the country to go into the nations of the world for economic survival. And we are a nation of nearly 14 million people. As I stand here, almost 75% of our population lives on food aid because we don't have enough food in the country. A lot of things have gone bad, and that's why things are like that. Most people in our country, they don't like the leader of our country. But there are certain things which the Bible tells us about leaders in our countries, which we must do because God tells us to do so. And today is your Independence Day here in the United States. And the Lord impressed it upon my heart that we need to pray for Mr. Obama. And we also need to pray for all those in positions of authority in this country. But we want to go to the word of God. Let's see what God's word says. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2 says, you therefore, 1 Timothy 2 says, from verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Can we say this together? For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. You know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, we died with him. When he was buried, we're buried with him. When he rose from the dead, God raised us together with Christ. That's what the gospel says. And when he sat at the right hand of God the Father, the Bible tells us God has made us to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. Physically, we are in upstate New York, Kingston. But spiritually, we are in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us our lives are here together with Christ in God. And tonight, saints of God, children of the kingdom of God, let us do this word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you have got your politics here in America. We have our politics in Zimbabwe. But I want to say this to you. What you have gone through, it's nothing in comparison to what we have gone through. We have had many people killed, because of their political affiliations. We have many people who are missing right now, people they don't know where they are. But in spite of all that, I've encouraged the saints at home to continue to pray in line with the word of God. Amen. The Bible does not say that you must pray for a leader if you like the way he does his politics. But it says we pray for those who are in authority because God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We will never go wrong doing the word of God. Our country, Zimbabwe, could have been another Liberia. Liberia where there were lots of massacres and civil war. There were times when soldiers were sent all over the country and they were on alert just to start to kill people. But those things did not happen because the church prayed. Amen. And we continued to pray. And you know, we have the Spirit of God in us as God's children. And as we have the Spirit of God in us, let us stand in the gap tonight and pray for the president of this country, the vice president. Let's pray for all those in positions of authority. And let's pray that you might ask, how will I pray? The Bible tells us God desires all men to be saved. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to reach these people. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, there are people who are Christians, who are presidents, and some are prime ministers, and some are cabinet ministers. So that, you know, one day, one of these politicians in this country can interact with some politician who is a Christian, who is spirit-filled somewhere, and that person can be preached to, and that person can be born again. Amen. 2 days ago, when we came through South Africa, the person who came to receive us at the airport, because we had a layover for a whole day, she's the wife of the consul general, who is like the ambassador of Malawi to South Africa. And when she came to pick us up, we spent the day with them. These people, they love God. And then we had lunch with the consul general. He had a very tight schedule, but he came to have lunch with us. And as we were having lunch, I heard him talk about him meeting some people from our country who are in the political circles. And yet, I have no access to those people. But he has got access to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us stand up, saints of God, tonight, and let us pray for Mr. Obama. Let's pray for his salvation. Let's also pray. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You see, these days we don't have kings. I mean, though there are kings somewhere in some countries, but most of them are honorary kings. They are not executive kings or monarchs. Let's pray that God will influence him in a way that brings prosperity to this country. Because God has access to the heart of kings. You remember God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream.